Welcome in to Bears Weekly, a Chicago Bears Network production. Download the Chicago Bears official app, brought to you by Verizon, to follow the team on the go. Bears Weekly is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Athletico Physical Therapy, Bet Rivers, CDW, Connie's Pizza, IGS Energy, and Miller Lite. Here are your hosts, Jeff Joniak, a.k.a. the Mayor of Bearsville, and his sidekick, Tom the Surfmaster Thayer.
We are on to April, a defining moment and a defining month for franchises across the National Football League landscape who believe in building their rosters through the draft like your Chicago Bears. We discuss it here on Bears Weekly on ESPN 1000 and the Bears Radio Network. My name is Jeff Joniak, my broadcast partner and Super Bowl winning Bears guard, Tom Thayer, and Sirius XM NFL Radio, moving the chains, Jim Miller. We are all together tonight, thanks to our producers, Jordan Tredup and Dan Brilli from the Bears, Sean Graney in the ESPN 1000 studios, and the executive producer of the Bears Radio Network, Eric Ostrowski, coming up at 6:40. Here in moments, one of our good friends of the program and well-known Bears fan, Adam Rank, joins us live to discuss what is next for the Bears. Good evening, Tom. How you feeling? It's April. We've made it to April, Tom.
You know, Jeff, one thing about the draft this year, it's probably one of the more confusing drafts I've ever been a part of, because there seems like some consistency in the first couple picks of the draft as you're leading up to it. But this year, in the 2 through 10, there's so much uncertainty about trades, about players moving up, players moving down, players impressing at their pro days. So I don't think that we're really going to know what's going to happen in the draft until it starts on that Thursday evening.
All right, Jim Miller, you are scouting this and digging deep right now. Now that April's here, are the clouds starting to clear?
Yeah, I think so. I think, there's a lot of buzz about the, quarterbacks. Will teams trade up? Obviously, Minnesota acquiring the second first-round pick, 23rd overall. Are they a team that's going to move up? And then you got teams right behind them, both Denver and the Las Vegas Raiders, that certainly would move up, and that's going to push good players down the board. You know, if what people project, four quarterbacks, even if three go, in a row, then obviously the fourth, I think those teams that I just mentioned would be jockeying for the fourth quarterback. So it's going to push good players down the board. You got good pass rushers like Murphy that'll be sitting there, good offensive tackles, Joe Alt. You got J.C. Latham from Alabama. And then, of course, Brock Bowers. And many think he'll be the only tight end selected in the first round. So could be some deep, good defensive players being pushed down the board as well.
Yeah, and that's
I have one quick question, because I've been thinking about this. What do you think the strategic reasoning behind Jim Harbaugh saying that J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in the draft? Is that specifically Chargers, kind of changing the narrative of the player, the team's thinking around him so that receiver stays available to him? Or do you think he honestly believes it?
No, I think it's him doing right by his player, obviously trying to boost his stock. But, yeah, I think it really helps the Chargers picking at number five, because if a team does trade up, say, to that four spot to take a quarterback, say that is J.J. McCarthy, what does that leave the Chargers? The best player in the draft, which many think could be Marvin Harrison, some like Malik Nabers. They just need a receiver. You know, they just traded Keenan Allen to the Chicago Bears. So I think it really sets up, the Chargers nicely. And Jim Harbaugh always has the luxury to say that because he's got Justin Herbert as his quarterback. But I will say this. I will say this about J.J. McCarthy. From what I understand of the people that I've talked to, he has tested really well up on the board, meaning knowing the nuances of offense. You know, he knows his protections, how to check plays. And a lot of that is from the coaching of Jim Harbaugh. But he's impressed a lot of coaches with his, FBI, football intelligence, and how he explains it. You know, he is 27-1 as a quarterback. I know he didn't have to carry his team. They were a really good team when you look at U of M. But, he's 27-1, and he really tested well up on the board, I guess.
The question I have is, I don't know how outwardly he was talking about his players when scouts would come through, or they pick up the phone and call Jim Harbaugh. I don't know how he was as a head football coach at Michigan. I can only assume. But now he's a head coach of another NFL team, and there's 18 guys at the scouting combine from his Michigan roster that people are going to ask questions about. And I wonder if he does the courtesy of talking about those players or not. I mean, is that a dumb question that I have right there, Jim?
No, I think teams will call him about him, you know, about the players that he has, you know, like Colson, the linebacker. They've got some good secondary players. I mean, in the trenches, Michigan is really good.
Right. But my point is he revealing? Now it's competitive. I'm the head coach of the L.A. Chargers. Why am I going to?
Well, I
you know what I'm saying? I don't. I mean, maybe that's too cloak and dagger, but is he doing that? That's my question.
Yeah, I think he is. Obviously, he's got a brother that's in the NFL. They have drafted a lot of Michigan players, Ben Mason being the most recent, and Ojabo, a pass rusher. But, yeah, now it's competitive, and does he want to reveal too much? I don't think he wants to do poorly by any of his players.
Right.
You know,
if they
have the ability to position themselves to take a player who he likes out of Michigan, he's going to do that. But I don't think he's going to not help his players if a coach calls him, say, like his brother, and says, hey, we are really interested in the D-tackle that you guys have. I think Jim will be open and honest like he is about everything. Bottom line is this. He kept a team together in U of M. All right. There was not one kid that transferred in the transfer portal. They made a pact as a team, and I credit Jim Harbaugh for keeping that team together to say, hey, guys, if we stick together, we'll come back and win a national championship. And that's exactly what they did. Not one
and
player
I do
transferred
love that.
Out of Michigan. Yeah.
And I do love that. I do love that indeed. All right, we got to take a break. Coming up next, we're joined by our good friend Adam Rank from NFL.com and NFL Network. Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak. This is Bears Weekly with Jim Miller on ESPN 1000 of the Bears Radio Network.
You're listening to Bears Weekly on the Bears Radio Network. This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller here on ESPN Chicago as we get you through Bears Weekly. We're brought to you by CDW, people who get it. Our guest, Adam Rank from NFL Network and NFL.com, a fantasy expert, but much more than that, a true blue Bears fan who's probably bouncing off the wall like a ping pong ball, given what's gone on over the course of this offseason, business season. We're almost through it. Is he there? Yes or no? I can't hear you. Oh, he's not there yet. Okay. We had some technical problems on communication with Sean Greeny in the studio. So, but when he comes aboard, we'll hear from Adam Rank. Anyway, Jeff and Tom here with you, along with Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio's Moving the Chain. So, opening day today, fellas, at Wrigley Field. So, Cole Kmet, DJ Moore, Tevin Jenkins, Jatari Carter, all at Wrigley today. I'd expect that from the tight end, Kmet, a huge baseball fan. So, good to see the guys together, guys.
Yeah, you know, Sox had a game at home as well. But, yeah, there's a lot of baseball excitement in the world of baseball, a lot of excitement with the women's basketball, March Madness. There's so much sports.
We're talking
going on.
About there, Bears guys at Wrigley.
Listen,
I love
mean,
that.
Right, and they went there last year, and when you look at Cole Kmet and you look at Tevin Jenkins, those are the guys that hit home runs out of that park. And so now you have an experience where you actually stood at home plate and you hit home runs out of that stadium in a well-building type of an atmosphere for the Chicago Bears. So I think it would be super cool to go back to that stadium after you had a chance to stand at home plate with a bat in your hand.
If I'm not mistaken, Tom, Jim Miller was drafted in Major League Baseball. Is that correct?
That is correct. But, Jeff,
I need more info. Got to fill in the blanks. What round and who drafted you?
It was the Kansas City Royals drafted me twice. It wasn't like a high round. It was like ninth round. But they already knew I was going to play football. And, you know, I could have potentially went higher if they knew I would have signed. But, yeah, they were in my house talking to my parents and ended up, you know, obviously keeping my options open and wanted to go, you know, just, you know, basically find out a little bit more about what I was capable of doing in football. But, Jeff, it's tradition to go down to Wrigley. I mean,
of course it is.
Ty Halleck, the former fullback and tight end,
your buddy,
at the Bears, he would always organize, you know, a little travel gig there. We went down there for opening day. It was always fun to do that and experience that.
Now, I'm a silly
times.
I love all the camaraderie on this team, whether it's be off-season workouts or going and doing things together. Obviously, those are all offensive guys. So that tells me a lot about that locker room, Tommy. They do like hanging out with each other off the field as well. I wouldn't go.
I'm a Sox fan. So just because a bunch of guys are going down there, I would say, hey, let's get in the car. We'll park right next to the stadium at guaranteed rate and walk in and watch the White Sox play. So
nice. Don't sit here
and give me all this hoo-hoo about, you know, about the Cubs game. I'm Sox.
Well, today was opening day in Chicago at Wrigley Field. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
all
Sox right. played at home as well.
Right, I know, but it was an opening day. Anyway, the Bears are getting ready for, I believe this week, to visit with Caleb Williams, the USC quarterback. I believe that's going to be later in the week. I'll ask each of you, start with Tom, what would be one of the first questions you'd like to ask him football-wise when you put him on the board? And I know they did a little bit of that at the scouting combine, but it doesn't matter if it was him or any other player, but what are some of the first things you'd want to ask a player when we start dialing up diagrams, understanding and reading what kind of NFL defenses and pressure packages they might be throwing at you?
I'd put an overloaded line of scrimmage on third down and ask him what is my first pressure read that I think is maybe the most vulnerable at the line of scrimmage, and how does that quicken your decision? So I would just like to see how you're thinking during your cadence with multiple guys at the line of scrimmage.
First off, for me, I want to know, does he want to play in Chicago, and do you want to be a Chicago Bear? That's the first question I'd like to ask him. Then, you know, you're right, they did get with him at the board at his pro day. They were able to spend 3 days with him. But, yeah, I think you'll have an opportunity. The physical's probably going to take up a lot of it. I know he hasn't had – I think all he had was a hamstring out there at USC, but the physical's going to take up the majority of the time. Believe it or not. And then if you do get him on the board, I wouldn't want to get him on the board because they've already done that. I'd want to go back and watch film with him. You know, what happened in this Washington game when it's 28-28 and you have this crucial fumble and they take the lead right before halftime? What happened in this Notre Dame game where they brought the blitz and you threw an interception that led to really three turnovers in the game, and it was pretty much a turning point in the season for USC? And why are you trying to do too much? I think you can get to the heart of that, but first I want to know if he wants to play for Chicago. I want to know if signability is going to be an issue with this player as well. He's a talented young man, nobody denies that, but does he want to be a Chicago Bear?
All right, time to join Adam Rank. Adam Rank on X, the fantasy analyst for NFL Network and NFL.com, all things football, and a true Blue Bears fan. Adam, how you feeling? We haven't talked to you in a while. Hey, not much has been going on, my friend.
It's good. No, I was sitting here. I was captivated. I was putting together my own mock draft for NFL.com, which will be released on Monday. I was watching this women's college basketball game. There's a lot of cool stuff going on, but I think the most important thing is the fact that the Bears – I seemingly made the decision. Obviously, they're moving on from Justin Fields, but it looks like Caleb Williams is going to be the next quarterback of the Chicago Bears. I truly believe this. And this goes to everybody that I know at USC. I live in Southern California. I've got some connections there. Caleb Williams wants to play. It feels like he wants to play for Chicago. And if you judge by his social media, I think like he's really leaned into it. You saw him conversing with Keenan Allen during the pro day. I think that question is answered. I think Caleb Williams does want to be here. And I think that, you know, wanting to go back and look at some of the mistakes he made in some of those games, I think is fair. But I think that this is one of the best quarterback prospects I've seen in quite some time.
Hey, Adam, so well, now you got all the pro days, you watch the combine, you looked at what everybody's been able to do. What's the most difficult choice for you if you're in the GM seat? Is it that first pick or is it the ninth pick? Because you're going to have to take a lot into consideration when you do go down to nine.
No, it's very true. I think one is lock solid. It's Caleb Williams or bust, and that's fine with me. Number nine has so many interesting possibilities because obviously there's three big wide receivers with Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze could possibly be there at nine. There's three great tackles who could be available. And then there's an edge rusher. You know, as much as we've talked about these wide receivers and some of these other guys and perhaps taking another stud there, Matt Eberflus is still the coach of this team. They didn't really address the defensive line during the free agency period. So to me, if somebody like Dallas Turner is there, even Jared Verse, they might end up taking a defensive player, and I'm preparing myself for it. I think as a fantasy person, I want to see as much offensive firepower out there as possible. but I know the reality of this and who's coaching this team, and I think there's a real good chance that they end up with one of the top edge rushers.
Yeah, Dallas Turner definitely would be considered the top, and Jared, obviously, and it's not as deep as rushers, so that would be intriguing there. Well, as this process goes along, Adam, and thanks for joining us, like, just overall for Bears fans, what you've noticed the reaction of Bears fans through this whole situation with Justin being traded to Pittsburgh. I've described it at some point, it seemed like it was a civil war going on in Chicago. What should they do? You know, keep Justin, trade Justin, draft Caleb Williams, and just you as a Bears fan, what has this experience been like for you?
No, it's very true. It's kind of like what Tom was talking about when I was coming in here, where, you know, he didn't want to go to the Cubs game. He's a White Sox guy, and everybody firmly took a side on this one. Not since the days of the Chicago Cardinals playing on Racine Avenue has a city been so divided football-wise. It's one of the advantages we've had is like a united city behind the Chicago Bears, but it was clearly, as you describe, a civil war. And for me, Justin Fields has been one of my favorite players. I love him. I know that, you know, 10 years from now, I'm going to be reminiscing about how much I enjoyed having him on the Bears. And I wanted the Bears to build around him. I really do feel like, hey, you could have traded down, got multiple picks. But I understand what Ryan Poles is doing, and I understand the decision that he has to make, and I fully endorse that. You know, once that decision was made and it wasn't mine, you know what? It's one of those things where he's like, okay, I'm gonna follow along. It's like when you're a little kid, you know, I would tell my father, you know, let's go to Portillo's, and he would be like, no, we're not going there. Yeah, you know, fine, we're going somewhere else. You know, there's really not too much I can do at that point, and I'm not going to make it worse. So I feel like most people have now come to the point of like, okay, we're here. This is where we're going. This is going to be our quarterback. And I think that once he goes out there and starts winning games, as I anticipate him doing, that everybody's going to be on board. It's just a little troubled water still. There's still a couple of tantrums flaring up here and there, but that's to be expected. But at some point, everybody's going to be on board with this.
Adam Rank from NFL.com and NFL Network joining us here on Bears Weekly with Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, and Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. I saw that you did a whole thing on revenge games coming up in the NFL this season. Certainly don't know the dates yet, but we certainly know the matchups. A lot of them predictable in terms of the repeat of the Super Bowl and the championship games and stuff, but I didn't see a Bears game in there. I saw a Bears-Vikings game with the Aaron Jones trade and stuff, but man, Adam, I'm all about this right now, and I know Tom is for sure. The Bears have not defeated the Green Bay Packers since December 16th of 2018. That's a revenge game every time they get on the field right now. To me, that is one of the bigger stories of this season coming up. Can they stop this and against the Green Bay Packers? And so I guess you could always put that in there every single year, but for me right now, with the way these teams are all headed right now in the NFC North, it's going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, I feel like most people know how I feel personally, so I didn't need to put it in that piece. And at some point, you know, the editors, they'll look at you. And, you know, our main editor is actually a Bears fan as well. So we had talked about that. We'd rather make fun of Aaron Jones instead going to Minnesota, who I congratulated. At least he didn't have the indignity of having to play for the New York Jets like Favre did. But for the Bears, like, for this to really get back to being a rivalry, we got to start winning again. Like, we got to start getting some of those W's. You know, this is very one-sided. This is very much, you know, a one-sided jobber match like Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns. Like, we're not getting wins off these guys. Like, we need to make this a little bit more competitive. And that's one of the things that I've noticed, too. When you talk about the civil war between the Bears fans with the Justin Fields and Caleb Williams, have you noticed the tenor of the Packers fans? Like, they do not want us to get Caleb Williams for a very, very, very good reason, because they're scared and they know how good he is. And this could be the tipping point. And I think that, you know, when you look back at Justin Fields' time with the Bears, and I don't want to say that somebody's career came down to one game, but the way that Week 18 game played out, especially what Detroit did last year, you just looked at that and you're like, there's just no way. There's just no way it can happen. Like, you've got to end this kind of, you got to end this cycle. And I know that the Packers fans like to say that, you know, our Super Bowl is beating the Packers. I'm like, which I don't think is necessarily the case, but it is the first step in getting back to the Super Bowl is finally beating that team and moving forward. Like, look what Detroit did this year. You know, they beat the Packers 2 years ago to end the season, and that set them on a course to where they're now the hunted team in the NFC North. The Bears need to get to that. So, yes, I did not put that in my piece, and I will believe me, I will be talking about this nonstop. But, yes, I would love to finally see us get over on the Packers once again, and I think it's going to happen this year.
You know, Adam, early in this year, the Hall of Fame game, and you think about Devin Hester and Steve McMichael along with Julius Peppers all going in the Hall of Fame, and then you had the conversation of the rule changes recently made. How do you feel about Devin getting into the Hall of Fame? How do you feel about the rules changes and, you know, the idea of the Hall of Fame game getting underway with the Bears being a part of it?
No, I love it. I knew once that Devin and McMichael were put into the Hall of Fame, like, oh, cool. Like, I started arranging my travel because I'm like, look, the Bears are going to be the automatic choice for the Hall of Fame game, as it should be. And I think that, to me, Devin Hester should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. You have to win all three phases of the game. You hear coaches talk about this all the time. Win all three phases of the game. There was not a better return man than Devin Hester. He changed the way that the games were played. You know, you think about quarterbacks taking a team to a Super Bowl. Like, a special teamer basically took a team to the Super Bowl back in 2006. And so, for me, it was a long time coming. I had actually started resigning myself to be like, we might have to wait a long time. So I'm glad to see him get in. I'm glad to see Mongo McMichael get in. That is a player who has been overshadowed for far too long. It happens when you play on these great teams, you know, and you have so many big personalities. I mean, there might not have been a bigger personality than Mongo, but still, like, he was overlooked for so long. So I'm happy to see him get in. And I guess, Julius, I'm still not over Julius Peppers getting taken out by, was it John Kuhn?
Yep.
to allow Randall Cobb to just float past Chris Conte. I'm still not over that. So I wasn't celebrating Julius Peppers as much, but still, three Bears are in the Hall of Fame.
Well, ironically, you look at the lack of kick returns in the Super Bowl. Now the kick return is back in the game, and you're probably right about Devin Hester. Well, let me ask you about the division. You know, I thought last year when obviously Rodgers was traded to the Jets, I have no idea why Minnesota didn't double down. Now Kirk Cousins, he is now an Atlanta Falcon, and they're looking for a new quarterback as well. And you mentioned Detroit, kind of the leaders in the clubhouse. I guess, how do you see the division? Because I do think the Bears have a better roster than Minnesota. They need to solve their quarterback position as well when you look up north to the Mini Horns.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know why people are giving the Vikings such a pass on this. Like, losing Kirk, we saw last season what it looks like without Kirk Cousins. And obviously Justin Jefferson missed time as well, but that there's a glaring need for that team. They have two first round picks that they could use to really, like, build a franchise for the future. And it's kind of interesting because I do write this in my piece, is like, if I'm the Vikings, I take a look at the division and I'm like, you know what? We're probably not going to catch either one of these three teams above us this season. Why not wait on a quarterback, use those two first round picks to really build a roster and build a top to bottom solid team? Obviously Hunter's gone as well. You need to replace some big time players. And I know that they're kind of in an interesting spot because they could risk losing Justin Jefferson if they don't get a quarterback. But at the same time, if you're blowing up your team to placate your number one wide receiver to get a quarterback who might or might not pan out, that's what I want them to do, because that's too risky. That might end up putting them back like 10 years by doing something like that. But I think they're clearly number four. And I know that I'm very biased, I'm very one-sided, but I'm not willing to – I know the Packers have the Bears number. But when you look at the Bears last season, 7 wins, should have swept – the Detroit Lions, and even to that point, like, there were 3 games that they lost where they had more than a 90% chance of winning in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. To the point of, like, have they won those games? It was Denver, Detroit, and Cleveland. Had they won those games, they wouldn't have even needed to win in Week 18 to go to the playoffs. So for me, I think the Bears are closer than a lot of the outsiders are giving them credit for, and I will allow people to go out and sleep on them. You've got a team that was good enough to win 10 games last season, that added a lot of talent on the offensive side of the football, is going to be resetting the quarterback clock. Their defense is going to be better. Like, I think the Bears are the number two. I think they're the number two team. I'll give Detroit their – Detroit's done a really nice job. And I think that when you see the blueprint that the Lions put out there, building through the offensive and defensive lines, getting a great wide receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs ended up being a great pick for them as well. So I really do believe the Lions are the best. That's the team to chase. But I don't think the Bears are far off.
Adam, appreciate it as always, buddy. Good to talk to you once again. Enjoy the month of April, because it's going to be fun. And we're looking forward to your mock draft as well. Adam Rank at Adam Rank on X from NFL Network and NFL.com. When we come back, some focus needs with a new quarterback and what those might look like from an offensive perspective and where the defense needs to go. Tom with some great points. We'll get Jim's thoughts as well. This is Bears Weekly on ESPN 1000 of the Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
This segment of Bears Weekly is sponsored by IGS Energy. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. Glad you joined us. Thanks to Adam Rank for joining us as always. Does not hide his bear colors, fellas. I love it. All right, Tom came up with some good thoughts today. Jim, we're going to start with Tommy on, okay, so what are you going to focus on in terms of having a rookie quarterback, a new quarterback here, and how to help him the best? Tom, I'm going to let you roll with it. I got some thoughts, and then we'll get Jim's thoughts as well. And I think it's the old bread and butter to start it off, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, so you're going to have a new quarterback that's going to be brought on board. The first thing that you have to have with a rookie quarterback is a running game. And you have to have a running game that can perform under some of the most difficult of circumstances, whether you're on the road and the crowd noise slows down your snap count. If you face a lot of 8 and 9 man fronts because of that rookie quarterback, number one, you have to have that running game that can perform under some of the most difficult of circumstances. And number two to me is third down max protection, because you don't want to go out there with a third and more than 5 yards and think that the advantage is to the defense because they can put more guys at the line of scrimmage than you have a chance to protect. So maximum protection is multiple tight ends, making sure that you can use the running back, making sure the offensive line, if they have to have one-on-one assignments, they're all up to that task. So I think that is one of the things that can help a rookie quarterback. And then to me, because you bring a guy like Gerald Everett in, and then you have the talent of Cole Kmet, multiple tight end sets that are run-pass options. Because if I think that you can incorporate both of these guys at or near the line of scrimmage as blockers, whether from the tight end position, stretched out a little bit, the fullback position, or that you can incorporate them with a clever quarterback in the run-pass option game, I think you need to have those three things to allow a quarterback that break-in period, like I said, against some difficult stadiums that you're going to go in and play.
Jim, I'm going to take the ball from Tom here, and obviously the run game is something you've heard me talk about consistently as well, something that I do love and think will be important. But I'll even drill a little deeper, and that's first down run success. So last year, the Bears had a 3.88 yard per carry first down success. That was 26th in the NFL, despite being tied for 9th in attempts rushing on first down. I think a year before they were near the top of the league, so that dipped some in terms of yards per carry, but that first down success obviously to lead to better situations down a distance for second down throws or second down conversions on first down. And then the time to throw. Jim, I know you can't compare the college game to the pro game in this regard, but the time to throw was a topic, obviously, with Justin Fields. And in college, Caleb Williams kept that ball for quite a long period of time to create off schedule. And so his was about 3.27 seconds. In the NFL, if you're not doing that and you're triggering from the pocket, wouldn't you like to see that in the 2.5 to 2.7 second range to get rid of the football?
Yeah, it's got to be quicker. You know, I think, you know, whether he was doing it to manufacture and make, you know, try and develop bigger plays out there, because we know their defense struggled for USC. They were giving up about 35 points a game. So he certainly felt a lot of pressure to maybe force some things down the field, where it's probably better to just take a check down. That's what led to some of the fumbles and things like that in the pocket. But as it relates to what Tom said, I do believe that 12 personnel, meaning two tight end packages, can help with that. Because if you look at Shane Waldron out there for Seattle, their tight ends went over 1,000 yards receiving. Okay, they had Will Disley, Noah Fant. Obviously, they rolled their tight ends there, and all four basically rotated in. So I do think a multi-tight end package is going to be a part of it. Thirdly, I would say this. I would say Tyson Bagent is no finished product yet. I think everybody's excited about where he's at and probably deservingly could be the number two, but I still think you got to bring in a veteran. You know, I know they signed Brett Rypien, but I think you got to kind of sign a guy who's kind of been there, done that for whatever young quarterback, whether it's Caleb Williams or any of the other young quarterbacks, just to have a guy there that's kind of done it, whether it's a Tannehill, whether it's a Carson Wentz, whether it's a Blaine Gabbert, whoever. I think that is probably something that they're going to want to add to this roster as well, because Tyson is Bajan's probably a small sample of what they're doing. And even look at what Seattle has done. They've always had veterans as backups as well, is what I'd say.
You know, they do have an additional coach, though, Ryan Griffin, who was an 8-year quarterback in the NFL.
Correct.
With the Saints, the Bucs.
I forgot about that, yep.
Won a Super Bowl with and he's going to help out with quarterbacks and wide receiver. I think that was a nice move right there. And then, Tom, I got one more on this. Go back to the tight end and Jim. So I went back and looked. 8 of the 14 quarterbacks who led the NFL in tight end pass attempts were playoff quarterbacks. So 8 of the top 14, including the rookie from Houston last year.
Yeah.
You know, just real quickly, I think when you look at the threat of the running game for the Chicago Bears the last couple of years, you really had to include a lot what Justin was going to offer you. I think if you can add a tight end to the package and take a little bit of that run relief away from the quarterback, I think that's where you can make larger gains. Because to me, I would rather see Caleb run less and throw to the tight ends more than everybody saying, "Wow, I wonder how many yards the quarterback is going to contribute with his legs this week." And I think that could really allow the offense to advance going forward.
Yeah, he says he doesn't want to run. He'll run when he has to, hopefully, and that'll be the case. We'll delve into it a lot deeper here as we move on throughout the course of this offseason and see where it all lands when the Bears pick number one overall coming up here at the end of the month. We'll talk defense on the other side of this commercial break coming up here on Bears Weekly. With Tom, I'm Jeff, and Jim Miller on Bears Weekly, ESPN 1000 and the Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
VIP access, including exclusive seating, sideline credentials, and more to every Bears home game next season. Well, join the wait list to get the ultimate VIP fan package in 2024 by visiting ChicagoBearsVIP.com. Jeff and Tom and Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. All right, we talked offense, talked about quarterback, how to help him the best, how we get that defense firing at all cylinders right out of the gate in 2024 versus 2023. Tom's got some ideas.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of goes to the 9th pick in the draft. I think last year when you look at how slowly the Bears defense got out of the box, that some of the stats that were that happened to them early in the season, they weren't assisting. Excuse me, I'm sorry. They weren't assisting the offense at all. And so I think this year, because of the way the defense ended the season, they have to come out of the box so hot that they are maybe the better part of the team in the early part of the season that can be the difference makers. And so that's why I constantly think about that 9th pick in the draft. And Jim brought up a lot of interesting names. If you don't take a pass rusher with that 9th pick in the draft, all the protections that these coordinators are going to put together throughout the preseason are going to be focusing on have multiple bodies and eyes onto Montez Sweat. If you have a counterpiece to that defense, their protections are going to have to be more evened out, and I think you can provide more to the defense, to their performance, to the way that they can factor in the games early in the season. So maybe you got to look at that 9 pick going defense to keep your offenses, your offense opponents off balance.
Jim, do you feel that they're somewhat boxed in then at nine?
No, I don't think they're boxed in, because if four quarterbacks do go early, like I said, to me, it's going to push good players down the board, from the three receivers to the two edge rushers, and then you certainly have the tackles that will be available as well. Or if they elect to trade out of number nine to position themselves, say if they're looking more at the defensive tackle position, it's probably too high there for Johnny Newton. It's probably too high there for Byron Murphy out of Texas, where they could trade them down and put themselves in better position, say if they want a good three technique, because that's what those guys are at the end of the day. But I think with how it sits, I think they got a good shot at Dallas Turner, who is considered the best edge rusher in this draft. Or you still have, I know the Bears are going to host Rome Odunze, you know, because probably with Neighbors Pro Day, what he had, there's a debate whether he or Harrison goes first, but then Odunze is going to be right there, and it's probably right in the Bears' wheelhouse as well. It's just who they rate as the best player, I would assume, at that point that they would take.
Tom, I've been talking about the secondary. You've been talking about the secondary. Jim's been talking about the secondary. They really have a chance as a group to have star power. And I'm not, you know, Kevin Byard's been that. He's a tremendous addition in terms of just that veteran presence back there. But we got young guys that arrows are all up across the board, including Jalen Johnson, who took the ball away last year in a big way. So what do you – how do we – how do we look at those expectations now?
I think for Jalen Johnson, you have to raise the expectations, because for 2 years we heard him talking about how he needed to get paid and he needed to get respect and consideration of one of the better defensive backs in the league. Well, he just got paid as one. So now, Jalen, you got to be the leader in that defensive backfield. You have to come up and have a better performance than you did this year when you were fighting for a contract. You're getting paid a hefty sum, but you also have to be a great complementary piece for Brisker and Kyler Gordon and Stevenson and Terrell Smith, for that matter. Because if I think you put all these pieces in place and then you're sparked by a pass rush that hopefully is going to be offered to you, this defensive backfield should be as profitable as an all-around defensive backfield that the Bears have seen here in maybe a couple decades.
And Jim, if they got to get that pass rush with that, marry it up, because when it did happen, they led the league. They led the league in takeaways. They led the league in interceptions.
Yeah, it's a concert. They work hand in hand. The front four is going to help out the back seven. You know, and if you have a fierce pass rush, it's quarterbacks got to make quicker decisions. Defensive backs can then jump plays, reading the quarterback's eyes, anticipating what they're going to do, just because their time is diminished for their ability to throw the ball in the pocket. When you have all day back there to throw, it's easy to get completions and find the open guy. You've got to harass that timing up front. So I agree. In order for that secondary to really continue the direction they're going in, it's really about the guys up front on that front four. And, you know, Coach Eberflus will mix in blitzes too. I think we know we got linebackers who've got some blitz ability. It can threaten that. And I think Kyler Gordon is a good blitzer off the nickel position as well, along with Brisker, when they bring strong safety blitz. But all those work together in order for the back end of the secondary to really thrive in getting turnovers.
And the more I think about it, fellas, I can't get him out of my head, because he's got the length, he's got the size, he's got the youth. If he brings in the strength for a strong offseason, and I think we're all intrigued, what's going to become of Jervon Dexter Sr.?
You know, I think he got to do some experiments in the preseason. I think he's got the length, the strength, the ability, and the intelligence to play up and down the line of scrimmage. And that's one of the biggest assets you can have on the defensive line, is an interchangeable football player that continuously confuses the offensive line.
All right, last break coming up here on Bears Weekly. We'll talk about league matters and get some thoughts on the guard position. Jim, I'm just going to try and rattle Tom's cage.
Offensive guard.
I saw some things. Unbelievable. The math. It's about the math. We'll tell you about it. Coming up next here on ESPN 1000 and the Bears Radio Network.
This is Bears Weekly with the voice of the Bears for 23 years, Jeff Joniak, on the Bears Radio Network.
This segment of Bears Weekly is brought to you by Athletico Physical Therapy. Visit athletico.com to request an in-clinic or virtual appointment and start feeling better tomorrow. And get the ultimate VIP fan package this season by visiting chicagobearsvip.com. All right, it's what Jim likes to call the lightning round. First of all, condolences to the family and the U of I family for the passing of one of the better corners in the NFL during his time. Just a really shocker today with the passing of Devontae. Why am I not able to find
Vontae Davis?
Brother
Vontae Davis.
Yes, Vontae Davis, two-time Pro Bowl corner, Miami draft pick, founded his home, passed away. So condolences. Jim, what's a memory for him? Because he was a very in-your-face corner and a lot of confidence, just like his brother.
Yeah, aggressive, played well for Minnesota and then really took it to another level with the Indianapolis Colts and ended up finishing with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, he really left it on the field. Very aggressive, very physical corner. So I was sad to hear the news. He was a great player in his time.
Remember, he was a player. I mean, he was at his grandmother's house down in Florida, 35 years old, passed away unexpectedly. He is also a player that retired at halftime of a game.
Yep.
And walked into the locker room and said he is done. Super unfortunate that the way it's all went down, and too young of a man. It's just a sad story.
Yep. All right. I mentioned guard, and we mentioned this last week, but there was some math today. Over the Cap is a website that does a really good job of analyzing everybody's cap situation. But they saw, Tom, the average value of offensive guard was by far the greatest increase that's not even close of any position, but even down as if you ranked the guards, whatever your opinion is, the guards 21 through 32, their salary went up 54.6%. Five positions had a 10% or more decline. The center position went down 31.2% from last year, left tackle down 28.5%, and so on and so forth.
Well,
wow, guards are the story of this offseason. You got about 30 seconds.
The guard of today is John Simpson, that offensive guard that he got his salary doubled because he was considered the greatest value at the position, second to Brock Purdy. But you're talking about a guard that made $1.01 million but was given a bonus of $970,000.
Jim, if you had your offensive line now, you'd have to give extra money to the – you got to give extra gifts to the guards. Clearly, they are the ones that are protecting the inside for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got some smaller quarterbacks. I mean, look what Carolina just did with their offensive line. They signed big money to two guards that they brought in for the Carolina Panthers to shore it up because they've got a smaller quarterback who can't see over the offensive line. So much like Drew Brees when they invested in Jahari Evans, I think you're kind of seeing that unfold a little bit at the guard spot.
You should have played baseball.
Fellas. It's been fun, fellas, but we got to run. Thank you very much to everybody. Eric Ostrowski is the executive producer of the Bears Radio Network. Thanks to Dan Brilli, Jordan Trudup, and Sean Graney, and Adam Rank, our guest tonight. Bleck and Abdallah are next for Tom and Jim. I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening to Bears Weekly on ESPN 1000 and the Bears Radio Network.
Thank you for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears Weekly, hosted by the mayor of Bearsville, Jeff Juniak, and Surfmaster Tom Thayer. Podcasts are available on the Chicago Bears official app. Bears Weekly has been brought to you by Apple Podcasts, Bet Rivers, IGS Energy, and Miller Lite.